Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. I invite you to turn with me in God's Word to 2 Timothy, a text that will be up here on the screens as well. 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to Timothy, his son in the Lord. We are in chapter 3, and I will begin reading at verse 14. Paul speaking to Timothy, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." Paul is writing to Timothy at a time in Timothy's life when he is the pastor of the Christian church in the city of Ephesus, a church that Paul himself founded and in time gave his son in the faith, Timothy, responsibility to be its pastor. Earlier in this chapter, Paul has warned Timothy that there will be people that he will encounter in his ministry who will purport to speak for Jesus Christ, but they will not be speaking words of truth. They will not be speaking God's truth, for they, Paul says, have been deceived. They have been deceived. They think they are speaking the truth, but they are not. They may have been deceived without being aware of it, or they may actually be aware that some of the things that they're saying are not quite true, but for whatever sinful motives they have, they are still speaking them. But Paul's point to Timothy is, Timothy, as the leader in the church and working with both people in the church and outside the church, you need to be aware of these people who say, "Thus saith the Lord," when it is not the Lord saying it. So you need to be on your guard, Timothy. You need to be aware. You need to be careful. And you need to teach and preach and instruct the people so they know the truth of God. And so when they hear the deception, they can recognize that this is not truly from the Lord. So what is Timothy supposed to use as a resource, as a guide, as the wisdom that would give him an understanding of what is true and what is not true? And given that the Apostle Paul himself, who is in prison when he writes this letter to Timothy, is speaking of his own death, which Paul believes is coming very soon, what is Timothy going to turn to? Paul has been his teacher all these years. He has been his mentor. He's been his guide. He's been his spiritual father. What is Timothy going to turn to now? What will give him what he needs in these very difficult times that he's facing because of deception, because of lies, because of people saying they're speaking in the name of Jesus Christ, but they're truly not? Well, the answer to all of those questions is one thing. It's the inspired Word of God. It is the Scriptures that will give Timothy all that he needs. It's wonderful to have Paul in his life interpreting and helping him, but Paul is saying, but the Scriptures are for you. And Timothy, you can get what you need from Scripture. You don't need me to tell you what's in there. Timothy, if you read Scripture, if you allowed it to be the guide, the focus of your life, it will teach you all you need to do the ministry to which God has called you and to do it well. It will equip you. It will prepare you. It will be constantly at your side. And regardless of who leaves in one way or another, whether I, Paul, leave because it is time for me to go to be with the Lord, whether people in your church perhaps decide to leave to go to another church or even leave the faith behind, you always will have the Word of God with you. These Scriptures, Timothy. And that needs to be the foundation for your life, foundation for your faith, foundation for your ministry, foundation for your church. Because your church needs to know what is true and what is not. And you are to preach that. And you are to teach that. And you are to encourage them to use the same resource that you use, for the Spirit will be at work in their lives, even as He's at work in your life. So we might ask ourselves, together with perhaps Timothy, kind of asking himself, as Paul is telling him this, how in the world is this, a Bible, words written by people on pieces of paper, how is it supposed to do all of that for me? How can the Scriptures be all that you're telling me that it is, Paul? And Paul answers that question in verse 16 of the passage that I just read. Paul says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Now, the translation I read says that it is inspired. The word there is inspired is how it's translated. But the Greek word, and it is in Greek that Paul originally wrote this letter to Timothy, the Greek word is theopneustos. It's a combined Greek word that comes from two words. The first word is theos, the word for God. And the second is a root of pneuma, the word for spirit or breath. So theopneustos means God breathed, literally. Paul is saying all Scripture, all Word of God, everything that you have as a Bible, Timothy, is God breathed. It comes from the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. And its content and its meaning originates in God. Yes, human beings wrote the words on the paper, but they were being guided and directed by the Holy Spirit as they wrote them down. And thus they are the words of God. They are the Word of God that is the way, the truth, and the life for every believer. Jesus Christ Himself, who the Gospels tell us, is the Word of God. For example, in John's Gospel, it begins, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And a little bit later in verse 12, John says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He is clearly, as he tells us, talking about Jesus. He is the Word of God lived out in the form of a human being. And later he will say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And by saying that, he's saying that I, the Word of God, am living out the way and the truth and life of God. And just as Jesus is living out the Word of God, so this text is the written, lived out Word of God. This is the way, the truth, and the life for us. As Jesus is the Word, so Scripture is the Word, originating in God and giving us the content of God's revelation to us. Not words written by human beings from human wisdom and human understanding and human opinion, but rather words written by human beings that are the revelation of God. They are the way, the truth, and the life, for they originate from God. And so Paul goes on in these few verses that I read, talking to Timothy, and he says, since the Word of God is God-breathed, since this is what you have there with you, Timothy, what is it that it accomplishes? And he says it accomplishes two primary things. The first, he states in verse 15, he says, the Word gives you wisdom for salvation to all who believe. How is a human being saved? A human being is saved is if he or she reads or is given the words that are here, the words of truth, and believes them as truth, believes that they are from God, they will be saved. And so that is one purpose of Scripture, is for our salvation. If we ask the question, God, what do I need to do to be saved? God has said, I have revealed it to you in my Word. And indeed, it is there. The second purpose that Paul gives Timothy for the Word, for why God would breathe His truth into this human text, is that it equips us, us being believers, us who are called into a relationship with God, not just us people like Paul and Timothy, you know, kind of leader people, pastor people, but us as all believers, that it equips us to do the good work that God calls us to. Every single one of us is called to do God's good work. Now, God's good work does include believing. And of course, we do that for our salvation, and we continue to believe such things as this is God's truth for us. But we're also called to good work, not in order to be saved, but now that we have been saved. So how are we going to be equipped and prepared for that good work? Not just knowing what it is, and we can certainly read the Bible and get ideas on what we should be doing, but what prepares us and equips us? What makes us think that we could do this? Many people look at Jesus and say, oh, I'm supposed to be like Jesus. I mean, even the mission statement says become like Christ, but you know, I can't do that. And the biblical answer is, you're exactly right, you can't. But you're not being asked to. What you're being asked to do is to allow God's Word to equip and prepare you. So now it's just not Steve Wilbraham doing what God is asking him to do. It is the spiritually and God-given way of being equipped and prepared through the Word. So Paul says, this is the purpose of the Word, to equip you and prepare you. Well, we might say, if Timothy said this, but I certainly would kind of ask this question if I'm taking seriously what I'm being told. So how is this supposed to do that? How does this book do that? Well, he tells us, and actually he tells us that in verse 16. Together with that all Scripture is God-breathed, he says it is useful for. And he gives us four things. They're really two couplets, two sets of two things that it's useful for, that then provide in verse 17 for our equipping and preparing. What does he say? One, it gives us the truth. Two, it tells us when we messed up and got that truth wrong. So that's kind of a couplet. It gives us the truth, and it shows us when we got it wrong. No, you didn't understand that quite right. You're not using it quite right. The second couplet is it corrects us when we're wrong, which is really good. It doesn't just leave us hanging. Oh, you really thought that was God's truth? No, you messed up. Oh, hang your head in Christian shame. No, Keep reading. Keep studying. Keep using the Word of God because its purpose is to correct you. God isn't in heaven saying, look at that guy. He read my Word and got it wrong. Man, is he a loser? No, God is saying, let me help you, Steve. I know you misunderstood. I know you misapplied. I know you listened to one of those deceivers and you didn't realize that he actually wasn't teaching you the truth. But now that you've read my Word, you realize that you're not on the right track there. So help me, let God be the one to help correct you. And he uses your Word. So he corrects us and he teaches us how to live, if you will, a corrected life. Again, two couplets. What's the truth? And when we get the truth wrong, Scripture gives us that. And then it corrects us. It gets us back to where we need to be. And it shows us how to keep living there. So the Word of God, as Paul says, is like a teacher. Think of, if you will, this is an illustration. It is the Bible is much more than just a teacher in a classroom, for example, but use this as an illustration, as an idea. Think of the Bible as a teacher in a classroom. At our staff meeting this week, when we're talking about these verses, I asked them, so what was your worst subject in school? And several said, math. I said, okay, let's go with math. So I said, imagine that you're in your math class, and your teacher says, today we're going to talk about the Pythagorean equation. And some of you are already rolling up your eyes. Remember those. We're going to talk about the Pythagorean equation. So he goes on the blackboard, and he shows you and tells you all about the Pythagorean equation. You all know what that is, right?
No.
No. A squared plus B squared equals C. Not all lost. Okay, so that's a Pythagorean equation. So he spends your math class, and he's teaching you all about A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Okay, fine. Time for the test. Okay, do you know it or don't you know it? Do you understand it? Can you apply it? Well, here comes the test. And what does the test show? Didn't get it. You have been taught the truth, you've been told the truth, but for whatever reason you didn't quite get it. So what does the test do? It shows you when you're wrong. And it's not it, of course. The paper doesn't do anything. It's your teacher. Your teacher gets it from you, and he corrects it. He shows you first that it's wrong, and then hopefully either there on the paper or maybe even in the subsequent class, period, because 83.4% of the class got it wrong, right? And so he says, we need to talk some more about this. And he corrects your mistakes. And he seeks to get you back on the right Pythagorean path so that you can understand this and you can use it. And it can be something as you further your mathematical career, short as it may be. But you need to know this. See, and that's how the Word of God works in our lives. It teaches us the truth. Then something comes along, some test of some kind, and we mess up, we fail, we get it wrong, we don't do it right, whatever it may be. But Scripture helps us. How many people are there in the Bible who got something wrong? Except for one, I think we can almost say with any confidence, every single one of them, right? I mean, can you really, other than it being just like, it's half a verse and he didn't do anything wrong in half verse, but I mean, people that we know anything about, they all got it wrong, and some of them spectacularly. It teaches us that people get it wrong, but it also teaches how God is at work in their lives and how God will be at work in our lives. The Word of God is inspired by God. It is given to us for our salvation. And most of us who are here have already understood it and used it in that way. And if you have not, I encourage you, if that's still a question in your mind, am I saved? And what does that mean? The Word of God is God's truth. And the Word says, you don't need to go find this. Let me tell you what the Word says. It says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your lips, that is, you are willing to say, this is true for me, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on a cross so that your sin may be forgiven, If you believe that to be true, and that's what the word says, I've summarized it. It says much more, of course. But you don't need to be a biblical scholar. You just need to understand that straightforward, simple truth. And if you believe it to be true in your heart, and you want it for yourself, the Bible says it's yours. The author doesn't say it's yours for himself. The pastor doesn't say it's yours based on his wisdom or understanding. The Word of God says it's yours. And once it is yours, are you ready to do the good work that God wants you to do as his child, as a follower of his son, Jesus Christ? Well, how do I know what that is? How do I get help with that? Again, right here. Right here. It teaches you God's truth. It shows you when you've mistaken it, when you've gotten it wrong, when you haven't applied it correctly. It corrects you, getting you back on track. And it helps keep you there where you need to be. For 18 years, I have been pastor of this church. And it has been my sincere desire to teach the Word of God. Paul, back in verse 14, at the very beginning of the little passage, he says, you know, Timothy, you have known the Scriptures since you were a child. And Timothy, we know from earlier in the letter that he was brought up in a faith-filled home. Talks about the faith of his mother and his grandmother, both who taught the faith to Timothy. And the Scriptures were a central part of their household. And Paul says to Timothy, you know, you've had this ever since childhood. Paul is implying, I mean, you didn't first hear it from me. I just kind of came along and help you, you know, understand more about it. But you've had this since childhood. Hang on to it. It'll stick with you if you stick with it. And it'll provide everything you need for ministry. I myself was raised in a Christian home. I have known the Scriptures, as Timothy has, from when I was a child. Because I had parents who taught it to me and who lived it in my home. And as I have grown with the Word of God, I've also come to realize that the Holy Spirit has given me a love for the Word. And it's been my desire to pass that on to all of you. And it is my prayer as I prepare to leave this place that whatever is left behind is not of me as such, but is of the Lord. And if you remember anything about me, you remember there was someone who sought to taught the Word, teach the Word, who sought to help us love the Word as he does. So that for you, as it is for me, as it has been and as it will continue to be, it will be a light unto our path. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word. And I know so many here thank you as well. I thank you for the privilege that I've had now for 18 years to preach the Word, to teach the Word, to be able to encourage people in this congregation to read it, to think about it, to study it, to be in conversation about it with others. Father, this is not just something because this is my job as the pastor, that someone says this is what you should be doing. No, it is because that I, for as long as I can remember, have seen this Word as being central to who I am and how I understand what it means to live my life. And Father, I believe that is true for everyone who calls you Lord and Savior. I thank you that we have it. I thank you that it is accessible. And I pray for this congregation that it'll continue, Lord, to be a central focus in its life and ministry. Not just something we know about as a church, but something we live, something we practice, something we talk about, something that we are humble before. We allow it to teach us like a good teacher, even trying to teach us things that sometimes we don't want to hear or that we're not all that interested in. Help us, Lord, to grow in love for your Word, that it may last every single day of our life and be for us all that Paul is telling Timothy about. Thank you for it, and thank you for the opportunity we've had together in your Word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.